You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the fourth Sunday of Advent, December 20th, 2015, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
Among my earliest childhood memories are of my mother reading stories to me at bedtime. Not always, but very often, those stories came from a children's illustrated Bible. I remember shuddering at the story of Daniel in the lion's den and wondering if I would ever have such courage. I remember the story of Joseph being betrayed by his brothers and how kindly he treated them later when they were starving, and wondering if I could be so kind and forgiving. And I remember the story of the boy Samuel being called by name in the middle of the night by the Lord, and wondering if God would ever call me by name. My mother's sweet voice, in the melodic tones of old Virginia, told all those stories. Her voice was musical, and those stories came to life for me, not just as stories from a time long ago and far away. They came alive for me as a gateway into something beyond the stories. Because what my mom was really doing on those long ago nights was teaching me about love. About her love for me and about God's love for me. As I look back on it, I know that I first experienced God's love through my mother's love. I experienced God as a relationship, that is to say, and not as a chilly, abstract figure seated on a throne in some distant kingdom hurling lightning bolts. And my mom taught me about justice. In our little southern town in the 50s and the 60s, there was lots of racism, both overt and covert. Not in our house. In our house, every human being was a child of God and stood equal before God. My mother was normally not a very fierce person, but on that subject, she was fierce indeed. I remember her father, my grandfather, who was a very formidable figure, at our dinner table once, after he had made a casually racist remark, "Not in my house, and not at my table," said my mother. My 8-year-old eyes got real big then, I'll tell you what. And my mother taught me about acceptance and mercy after my 6-year-old self had been thoughtlessly cruel to one of the neighbor children who had a disability. When Mom confronted me with how my behavior had caused pain to my neighbor, I was, as we say in the South, lower than a snake's belly. Now, my neighbor accepted my apology for my dumb behavior, but I still continued to feel terrible about it. Until finally, Mom talked to me about having mercy for myself, just like I would want to have mercy for others. We've all, or at least many of us, have stories about our mothers, about how their love, their wisdom, their patience and guidance shaped and formed us. Now, some of us haven't had the experience, really, of having a mother like that, but it's something we can all imagine. You know, there is a kind of an ideal mother that we can all imagine, and that really is how we're shaped, I believe, by that knowing of maternal love, whether it's knowing it from our real mothers or whether it's knowing it in some very ideal sort of way. We all know what maternal love feels like. You know, that's, after all, a mother's job. So why should Mary and Jesus be any different? You don't think Jesus didn't learn plenty from his mom? In fact, I'll go so far as to say that a lot of what Jesus understood about his purpose in life came from his mother's understanding about how God was at work in her life. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. We hear this morning this beautiful song straight from Mary's heart. She's so grateful for this amazing work that God is doing in and through her. And so she offers thanks and says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She then goes on to describe God's mighty deeds. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors. Mary knows her Bible, and she's praising the God she knows from her Bible and in her heart. Now listen to what her son says on the first day of his own public ministry. We'll be reading this in a few Sundays from now. So when we hear this a few Sundays from now, recall back to what we hear Mary say this morning. Jesus will stand up in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He'll open a scroll from the prophet Isaiah and begin to speak. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he'll say, "because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know, Jesus didn't just make that stuff up. He's giving voice to how he was raised. It's what his mom taught him. It's the example she set for him. It's how she interpreted Scripture. It's what his mother shared with him about the God that she knew. Can there be any doubt that the words we hear Mary speak this morning were important to her boy? Well, they better be important to us too. Mary helped Jesus see who he was and who he was called to be, so we might want to pay attention to that ourselves. And you know what? Mary's words this morning are words for our times. We couldn't hear more important words today. We could take any line from her song and make that into a powerful sermon that the world needs so badly to hear today. But I'm going to choose these words. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." In this Advent season, Mary comes to us this morning with a word we so badly need to hear, a word of the promise of God's mercy. I'll tell you, I need that right now, the remembrance of God's mercy. Can we recall what it's like to feel mercy? Can we recall what it's like to offer mercy? Well, even if we can't, God does. That's the promise Mary reminds us of. You know, the dictionary defines mercy like this: kind or forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. It is kindness or help given to people in a very bad or desperate situation. That's mercy. And so here's Mary. I suspect not much mercy had ever been extended to Mary. She was, after all, a poor pregnant girl living under Roman rule, a peasant. It would be easy to dismiss her and reject her. Yet in her song, she's giving witness to her experience of God's mercy, of how much it matters to her. She was cared for. She was lifted up. And because she was lifted up, all the lowly will be lifted up too. Mercy seems to be in short supply right now. Maybe you feel like you could use a little mercy. Not an unusual experience. You know, one sure way to receive mercy when you're in need of it is to offer mercy to someone else who's in need of it, who's maybe desperate for mercy. Who do you know who's alone right now? Who do you know who's feeling left out and rejected amidst all of the holiday merrymaking? You know, they're out there. In fact, I'll bet there are some of us right now, sitting here today, who could use a little mercy. And there are plenty of folks we don't know who could use a little mercy right now. We're going to have a visit in January from Greg Hope of our Diocesan Refugee Resettlement Office to talk to us about what we can do to offer mercy to some pretty frightened, desperate people. Greg will be accompanied by some recent arrivals from Iraq and Afghanistan with whom the diocese is working, so we can hear their stories and see how we can be instruments of God's mercy to struggling, scared neighbors. Mercy. Mary knew it in her bones, and she taught it to her boy. She incarnated mercy for him, just like he does for us today. So here's a thought exercise. Recall something your mother taught you, or maybe recall something that an ideal mother might have taught you if your own experience of your mother wasn't so great. Now, I don't mean what your mother taught you about keeping your room clean or doing all your homework. You know, those things are important, and I'll hear that, young people, okay? Those things are all really important. But I'm talking about something a little different. Recall a time your mother incarnated love for you, when she acted it out, or maybe when she incarnated justice and acted it out, or maybe when she incarnated mercy and acted it out. How did that feel? How did it affect you? Now, how would you pass that on? How would you pay it forward? Who can you imagine is in need of an act of your mercy? What's a situation where you could do your part to bring justice to bear? Who's in need of your unconditional love that's not receiving any right now? What would your mother want you to do? And then do it. Just do it. Make your mom proud of you. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.